Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Another loaded show for us for the next 4 hours. A lot of ground to cover, including Tim Hasselbeck at high noon. Then we do our re-rankings, our top 10. Who was rising up the boards? Who's fallen? Who's in? Who's out? We'll do all that in the third hour of the program. We'll also head over to West End, talk to Clark Lee and Mitch Light, a little college football. In the final hour, David Poyle, Predators general manager, coming up his weekly chat with us at 11:15. We're trying to cram a lot of things in to this holiday week, of course, Thanksgiving being on Thursday. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, alongside Elijah Campbell, manning things at our game studios. Guys, how we doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing awesome.
That's good, yeah. Willie is admiring the G-men and their old unis that they wore last night.
Yeah, that's my day.
No, they're good.
That's from back in the day.
That's all you got to talk about with the Giants these days, uniforms.
I think they might need to make the switch back permanently. It might help them. Go back to the LT,
you think that's it?
Bill
you
Parcells, Phil Sims days.
You think that's the missing...
Or bring those guys back, and maybe that would help them.
Also, maybe stop throwing the ball at the other team.
Or that.
Get a quarterback.
Yeah, it looks like...
The ball at the defensive lineman.
We'll always be linked to him, right? And it's just going to go down, it looks like, as just a really, really bad pick that had everybody questioning leading up to the draft. And they did it here. They did it in Nashville. And they got up at that podium and they said, Daniel Jones with the sixth pick in the draft, the New York Giants select from Duke. And I don't know. It just doesn't look like it's going to work.
Well, that,
I don't know. Maybe it's a, you know, we always try to figure this out, right? And we figured out with Sam Darnold and Sam Rosen and others, is it just a bad franchise, a bad coach? You know, should we blame Adam Gase? Should we blame, you know, the Giants organization? You know, it just looks like, I don't know. I don't think things are going to change. I don't think. But it just looks like a bad pick at six.
We always remember the drafts that are held here. I always can remember the players picked in the 03 NHL draft. And I just have this vivid memory of all the guys like Kyler Murray. It's also become a really intriguing draft. Both drafts ended up, historically, having a lot of intrigue, especially the first round.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
I love that.
And one day we'll
Daniel
come back
Jones
and
is part of that. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons is part of that.
Yep. It was a good draft. It was fun. This draft, not so much.
I'm trying to figure out if next year's draft, if it's worth, you know, I wonder if the markets, the sucky markets, if they're going, man, this is a bad year to stink. Like,
well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you mean the 22 draft?
Yeah. I mean, does it look like it's going to be littered with, you know?
No.
You never know.
I don't.
You never really know, but that is historically such a big thing. If you're sort of tanking, if you're, quote, rebuilding, you do have to have a little bit of luck. When you're bad, the draft is really good.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
I will say this, though, Willie. You're overall, you're right. But let me just tell you, when Chase Young was at Ohio State his final year, I was talking about Chase Young the entire season. I was like, this cat, Chase Young, holy cow. Miles Garrett, when he was at A&M, we were talking about Miles Garrett. You know, I mean, there are Trevor Lawrence. I mean, there are guys you can identify. And whether they work out or not is one thing. But we're talking about just the interest level going in. Who's the interest level? Like, those guys, we knew at least at the collegiate level,
they were dominant. Like, if you just watch them and put eyes on them, you're like, holy cow, they're just different than everybody else. Who's that guy? Who's the guy this year? Or guys, I mean, guys, there's 32 teams.
Yeah, I mean,
going to be drafting. Like, who are the guys you're going right now, like on Saturdays? Man, you got to watch this cat because he's just different.
I mean, Thibodeau from Oregon.
Is he, though? Do you get that feeling when you watch him?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think he's.
Do you? I think he's raw. I think he's got all kind. I think he's going to wow everybody at the combine. He's going to pass the pretty test. But I don't know. I don't get
so he doesn't jump out at you as the true consensus overall number one.
If you're asking me, Myles Garrett and Chase Young, when I watch them, the Bosas, when I watch them in college, no, he does not.
Aiden Hutchinson is on CBS, their number two pick going to Houston. Evan Neal, an offensive lineman from Alabama, is number three. Kyle Hamilton,
I mean? It's like,
Derek Stingley.
Yeah. Is he? Okay. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know. I haven't watched him.
They have
so
the,
I don't have an opinion.
He's the only reason I've watched Notre Dame football all year. That guy is a freak.
Okay.
So CBS, this latest mock that they have the first quarterback going ninth overall to the Washington football team.
Yeah, the quarterback draft class.
Care to take a guess?
They're all going to get drafted, Chase. I mean, I get that. But they're not going to be.
It's not.
Do you believe any of these quarterbacks are going to be worth a damn, like franchise quarterbacks?
Nope.
I don't think so.
It's Matt Corral.
They're all going to get drafted, right? There'll probably be a handful go in the first round. But it doesn't mean they're going to be good.
They have
right
the brown.
What were people
saying about Patrick Mahomes? I didn't watch him that much in college. Nah, there wasn't a lot
people
of
were
hype.
Disagree. People were talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Kansas City traded up to get him. They traded spots to get him.
Ten?
They traded up to get him. He was top 10. I will never forget. I was sitting at Wild Wing Cafe, I think is what it was, for our draft show. This is when you guys were in the middle of the cup run. So I think you were in St. Louis probably at the time.
Okay.
And.
That time, probably would have been.
Mm-hmm. Kansas City made that pick, and I just remember turning and looking at Floyd, and Floyd just had this grin on his face like, it's a good pick.
Let me let me give you a little insight. He knows. He'll know this. We were at the Cardinals game. I talked to somebody while we were at the Cardinals game because Willie gave me grief for stepping away. He's like, you come to a baseball game and you're way talking on the phone. I was talking on the phone and somebody was telling me they were going to take Patrick Mahomes. And I'll just leave it at that. And so you are right. We were in St. Louis.
Okay, but I guess my point, too, is was Patrick Mahomes – you're talking about Chase Young, guys who are hyped. I just didn't hear a whole lot of hype during the college football season about Patrick Mahomes as this is going to be the next big thing.
The team that scored 70 points a game, I did.
Yeah, but Texas Tech always scores a lot of points. That wasn't anything unusual.
He was the sneaky pick. I remember everybody saying whoever ends up with him, that's the sneaky pick of the draft.
You want to hear why Willie – and look, I know this
but
is silly.
You have insight that others don't have on that particular team.
But I'm going to give you something else, though. And it's ironic that we had this – a text yesterday that referenced this. And I don't know how serious they were being because it's hard to tell from a text. But we all know – we've learned over the years through conversations – it is serious with NFL teams. At the Combine, guess what? Patrick Mahomes, his hand size, guess what it is for an NFL quarterback? It's small. He's not this big, but he's not Justin Herbert. He's not 6'5", right? And it's silly because in the end, it's like, look at Kyler Murray. Like, in the end, can he make this work at the NFL level? Like, you can't have every guy be 6'4" or above, right, and fit a certain mold. And that's what I think NFL teams try to do so much. I'm just trying to give you a little insight. The reason he fell to 10 is because he didn't have large hands. He didn't have Hal Gill meat hook hands, okay, or Stu Grimson. Those guys have meat hook hands. They can palm your head. Patrick Mahomes cannot. He's not 6'4", 6'5". I'm just trying to tell you that's the reason he slipped to 10. It's not because of his ability or the wow factor. It's teams get caught up in looking for a certain thing, right? The passing, you know, the underwear test. at the combine, and, or they get wowed by an interview. How many times did I sit here and talk about Josh Dobbs when everybody was talking about first or second round? I was like, give me a break. Are you going to get blown away by him at the combine? Yes, he's a smart cat. He's a leader. He's going to wow the pants off of you when you talk to him. And he's big. He's tall. But can he make the throws in the NFL? The answer is no on a consistent basis. Remember when people were talking about Josh Dobbs, first or second round? And I'm like, what are you guys smoking? It's because this is what happens at combines. And some teams literally look at a hand size and they're like, nope, nope, baby hands. Not going to do that. It's silly, I know, but you'd be surprised how many teams really have certain things that it's like, you know, it like hurts them on the, you know, it hurts them on their draft board. It's like, just, you know, remember, it's people. It's people in there talking about people. And you don't know how a GM or these scouts feel about an individual. And there may have been teams above Kansas City, they're like, you know, I wish he was a little bit taller, wish his hands were a little bit bigger. They just start picking you apart, right? And now they look silly. If they could do it all over again, they would. And he'd go number one. But that's the beauty of the draft.
That's my point when you start talking about this may be a bad draft. It's just hard to know. A lot of times you might be right with that overall, but.
Well, I'm not telling you, I'm telling you that because it's not talent. See, I'm talking about the talent. Like, I'm looking at these guys going, am I wild? I'm not talking about the underwear test. I'm talking about just like straight, like Mahomes. It wasn't about talent. That's why I'm telling the story. It's other things on the, probably the reason he slid to that. It wasn't because people didn't think he was talented enough. If you just watched one Texas Tech game, they scored 60 a game and went 6-6. Their defense gave up 70 a game. It wasn't because of Patrick Mahomes. I just don't. When I watch these teams every Saturday, I don't get wowed by a lot of players that everybody's identifying as, you know, top 10, top 15. That's all. And that doesn't mean it's going to be a bad draft. I'm saying sitting here today in late November in 2021, I don't have any guys that I'm sitting here drooling over.
Well, it's just I'm glad that we don't have to start talking about the draft at Thanksgiving time.
You're not ready to do a mock.
Oh, Willie loves
that. You know me.
Willie loves that.
I'm really nice about talking about the draft closer to draft time.
Yeah, not, Chase.
And there have been years when your team is not on the radar and not good, you start talking about the draft way too early.
You know the makeup of Willie, okay? So
I do.
It takes a lot.
I'm about to
it takes
really
a
to
lot to get him, right, to push him to a certain point. When the Titans were in their lull, when the Titans were bad, and we had started draft talk in some years like October, by the time we got to this point, you would see a different level, like a level you hardly ever see of him.
Yeah. Well,
like Willie would really get – he would get ticked.
He's going to get ticked with what I'm
George
about to
and
say.
I would just laugh. I mean, we would just sit there and laugh and, you know, rub it in.
It's like the draft again,
and he
really?
Would just get mad. Or he just – his face would get – I mean, we would – of course, we would start prodding him because we knew it angered him so much. He hated the draft. And it was funny because we'd have loaded lines, you know, this time of year. And they're not – they don't want to talk about the game. They want to talk about the draft. And Willie was like – just you could just see him over there. Steam is coming off of
Why
his
are
head.
We talking about the draft? Hey, according to the CBS mock draft that came out a few days ago.
Oh, mock draft
they,
is out.
They,
okay.
They have the Titans picking 31st. So congratulations, Titans fans. They have you losing the Super Bowl.
Oh,
so there
okay.
you go.
That's good.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Coach Willie?
I feel pretty good. Okay. I picked the Titans to win
the
Super
Bowl. Does that make you cringe?
I picked the Titans to win the Super Bowl.
Too early for this stuff? By the way.
I feel like it. Yeah, I can see it's making him nervous.
Real quick, because we're going to come back and talk a little Nashville SC, because we've got soccer playoffs starting tonight at Nissan Stadium. You know, a little MLS, a little Nashville SC. But if you don't think James Franklin, if this stuff ends up playing out the way that it does, what do you – you've heard all the rumors, right? And by the way, there are people saying it could happen even today. But you've heard all the rumors, right, with James Franklin?
Mm-hmm.
What are the rumors you're hearing?
Well, I mean, like going to USC.
No. That's not the latest rumors. You guys haven't heard the latest rumors? James Franklin, this is why he's a mastermind. If this plays out, guess what the new rumor is? He's going to sign a new big fat
contract at Penn State that'll basically pay him $200 million to leave if he gets fired. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's the new rumor.
Tuesday we can talk about
he that. He knows how to play the game.
That's the new rumor. He's going to sign a new big fat contract extension.
You know who that's good for? That's good for Lane Kiffin, and that's good for anybody else that's been mentioned for
these
big
jobs. Well, it's
good
for the Dan Mullins. The coaches have figured out that if you're gonna drag me around like a rag doll if it doesn't go well and have these knee jerk reactions, you're gonna pay me. You're gonna pay me a lot.
So he is good, man. He's good. If that plays out, and I wouldn't be surprised.
How many coaches is Tennessee still paying?
He's good.
Seven.
Well, it's not because they were good at this. They were actually bad. Tennessee was bad at their job at giving them contracts.
That's
this
my
is
point.
Like James is not, actually
they signed
smart
Jeremy
and good.
Pruitt to an extension, as I recall, right before they said he's the worst coach ever.
Yes,
he cheated
Fulmer,
and
Fulmer did.
I mean, Fulmer. We saw the
Tennessee
best.
Did. That was the University of Tennessee. Philip Fulmer would be
Willie. Did
Philip
we not Fulmer. See the best in the NFL ever do it right? I mean, at creating a marketplace for them constantly. We saw the best right here. James may be the best in college if this plays out.
Yep.
Ironically, I just had a Daniel Jones tweet at me. I don't know. I don't think it's the Daniel Jones from the Giants who we were talking about. He said, Will Anderson at Alabama. Yeah, he's – okay, I'll give you that one. He's legit. I'm just saying overall, this to me seems, and we'll get into all this stuff later. We don't want to get Willie upset because he's going to get mad if we start doing too much draft talk. I do think, though, overall, once we get a little bit later down the road, I don't think it's going to be viewed as a good class. I don't know. I'll be curious to see kind of where they think this one stacks up to other years because I kind of feel like it's going to be a little bit down. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little soccer with Tony Husband. We'll do that next. Here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Mookie. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. See, we're waving at you. Chase just took his shirt off. He must have done something good in the studio. Back here on Darren Donica and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products curated for life. Let's talk a little soccer. Big one, big match over Nissan Stadium tonight. Nashville SC in Orlando City getting things going. Little MLS first round playoffs, the MLS Cup playoffs. Tony Husband is on the line with us to talk about that. Tony, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Darren, Chase, Willie. How are you all doing? It's a big, big day. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a cold night, perfect for a bit of playoff soccer. Really looking forward to it.
Hey, I gotta have a fun story here. We were up in Canada, Team Canada, in the World Cup qualifying recently. They had their game against Mexico. It was in Edmonton. So you think it's going to be cold tonight. They had a ton of snow. They had to plow it all off the field. But it was – you talk about home field advantage. Canada playing at home in Edmonton. It worked pretty well for them.
Yeah, it did. And Alistair Johnson, the Nashville defender, will play tonight. He was on that field. He was the only guy that wore short sleeves. Everybody else, you know, it was tights, it was long sleeves, it was gloves, but Alistair was there, short sleeves. And I spoke to him about that the other day, and he just said, you know, it's just got to be done. It's the Canadian way. You know, we just don't go for any of this stuff. You know, I was out there in the frozen tundra and just enjoying it. So
don't look for him to be in the sweatshirt tonight, right? So tonight he's going. He'll be very comfortable out there.
Exactly, he should be. And I mean, a lot of people talking about the weather, actually, aren't they? Because you know, this is going to be the coldest Nashville game, certainly since the very first game back in February last year. And you know, you talk about, well, Orlando are coming obviously from a warmer climate and things. I don't know. There's going to be too big a factor. You know, these are experienced Orlando players. They will have played in a lot of different situations. It's probably more of a factor for the players who are not on the field at the time and are on the sideline just to keep themselves warm if they're then brought into the game. So probably not a big factor. But you know what? Playoff soccer, you know, you're looking for every little bit of home field advantage you can get on the night. And, yeah, it's going to be cold. We need it to be noisy. We need it to, you know, be hostile for Orlando to face, you know, just to give Nashville every little edge to try and get across the line.
No doubt about it. By the way, you can listen to all the action on ESPN 94.9 this evening. That game is slated to start at 7 o'clock. Now, I did want to ask you, Tony, and I want to know if there's any carryover or not. In the first season, you know, Nashville SC made this great run to the conference semifinals. Can that experience and actually already and notching a win in your first year, can that carry over to help them this year, or is last year and this year is this year and it doesn't really matter? How would you answer that?
Bit of both, probably. I think it can definitely help when you look back at last year, strange year that it was. Obviously, they were playing in, if not empty stadiums, you know, very, very small attendances at grounds. But, you know, they had the momentum of beating Miami here, absolutely, you know, pulverizing them in a playoff game. Then they went on the road to play in Hartford, Connecticut, to face Toronto. And that was a game where, to be honest with you, going into it, you would have thought that may well be the moment where the season, and a very good first season, comes to an end. Toronto, you know, one of the top sides in MLS over the last few years. And they got the kind of upset win that night. And ever since that occasion, I feel like that was a moment this team really grew. The belief was there that, you know, this is a team that can compete with the best in MLS. So I think they can look back on last season. And let's remember, the roster hasn't changed that much. So most of the players out there on the field tonight will have been through that playoff run last year. I definitely think that can help. Now, where it is all different is that the world is somewhat pleasingly back to more normality now. You know, we're back in normal kind of stadiums and things. So, you know, it is different from last year. And they're no longer the newbies. People know what to expect from Nashville. You know, they know how they're going to face up to a very resilient and organized side. But I still think some of those memories of last year can carry them through. And I definitely sense a confidence in this group, which is, you know, we're not this kind of newish team in MLS that's just happy to be in the playoffs. We're a team that now wants to make a deep run.
I love it. Let's hit pause on this game against Orlando City tonight. Let's talk about yesterday's news and the significance. It was announced yesterday that the home opener in the brand new stadium for the 2022 season will indeed be on May 1st of next year against the Philadelphia Union. Remember, this new stadium that I drive by all the time. I drove by yesterday morning. I'll drive by again tomorrow morning. By the way, they tell you, and I built the house that I'm currently in, they tell you to don't go by all the time because you'll get frustrated, like the progress. Like, you need to make sure you space your trips out when they're building something. It hasn't worked with me. I was here all the time when they were building our house, and I constantly drive by the stadium to see where the progress is.
Yeah.
But we now know, Tony, that it's going to be May 1st. It's going to be the largest, you know, soccer-specific venue in the U.S. and Canada. I know they got bigger things to worry about tonight, but how cool was that announcement yesterday?
Fantastic. And I mean, look, I say this as somebody who, you know, I'm very new to Nashville. I've been in this city for, you know, 18, 19 months. And, you know, I tingle with excitement when I think that, you know, you look at this kind of destination city that Nashville is, the attention it gets around the country, that, you know, all the different announcements I'm reading, whether it be, you know, infrastructure, jobs, entertainment, sports, you know, and you think, you know, what a good time this is to be in Nashville. And I just think there's something about the fact this is going to be the biggest stadium. Nashville's going that little bit further than some of these other teams. It's going to go up to 30,000, and that's setting the bar high. You know, this is soccer. It's an emerging sport. You know, we've still got to grow that fan base across all of Tennessee. But I think something Ian Ayre said yesterday in his address to the media was that, you know, he'd said that to the owner, John Ingram, you know, why do you want to go 30? And John Ingram had kind of said, well, look, I don't want to build this just for like the here and now where, you know, we've got 20,000 regularly and we can get to 22, 25. I want to grow this for the long term so that, you know, we'll have 30 coming in all the time. So there's ambition there, and it's looking longer term than just in the next few years. And really exciting and great, obviously, that they've been able to pull it ahead of schedule as well, because that's going to help in a season next year that starts early. I mean, the kickoff is February 27th, so still going to have a bit of a road run to start the season, but not anything like as long as we feared it might be if the stadium had opened, say, another month later. So May the 1st, and ironically, it's Philadelphia who are awaiting the winners of tonight's playoff game as well. And that'll be, you know, a really special day, I think, just not just for soccer, but for everybody in Nashville, everybody who worked to put the stadium in place. And that goes, you know, beyond the soccer club into local government and everyone. So hopefully a day that, you know, makes all of us, whether we're new to Nashville or long-term Nashvillians, you know, very proud.
Tony, if my memory serves me correct, I think that these two clubs had a draw. I think they tied three times. And one of those, if I remember correctly, I think this was Orlando City. Did Nashville SC jump out to a 2-0 lead? And, you know, in soccer, that's a good lead to have, right? And by the way, the style that Gary Smith and Nashville SC plays, they make it extremely difficult. They play, when they're in control, man, they're pretty good about finishing you off. If that did indeed happen, if my memory is right, how concerning is that Orlando City was able to do come back and get the draw, which most teams aren't able to do against Nashville SC?
Yeah, that's a fair point, and your memory is not fading you at all, because there's been six meetings between these two teams in the two seasons Nashville have been in Major League Soccer, and you know they've tied four times now, and they've only won one game each themselves. Nashville were two up in that first encounter, and you know that was a game where it really did look like they would see that one out. And then there was another game in which they led, and then Orlando came back as well. So you know this is an Orlando side that are dangerous. They've got game-changing players on their team, the likes of Daryl Dike, the veteran Nani, who can really turn it on. I like Mauricio Pereira, who pulls the strings in midfield, will sit just behind Dike. Dangerous player. You know, if players like that perform tonight, this is going to be difficult for Nashville. They've also got one of the fastest players in the league, the Brazilian Juan, who goes tearing down that kind of right sideline. You know, these are all players that Nashville are going to have to watch, and they have managed to do what few teams do against Nashville, which is to come back from a deficit and get something from the game. So there's not going to be much in this game tonight. I really do feel, though, that you know it is important that Nashville stamp their authority on this one. They've got to seize the initiative early on, and they've got to just make sure they get some momentum. I mean, Gary Smith said last week, if we're going to win this game, we're going to have to get back to how we attacked at the beginning of the season. And I think part of that is just acknowledging that in the last couple of months of the season, where they've played almost exclusively on the road, they've had to adopt a quite pragmatic kind of style. Gut out the points, just get the points on the road and then come back. And in that sense, I suppose, you know, you plateau a little bit and you need to just rediscover some of that creativity. So that's why tonight you're looking at people like Hani Mukhtar and saying, you know, if they're on song and they perform, you know, that's going to be a big factor in Nashville's success, hopefully.
Talking to Tony Husband, he'll be on the call tonight. Big playoff game, Nashville SC. And, Tony, it's been great. I've been seeing everybody around town. I saw Jerry Stackhouse over at Vanderbilt wearing the Nashville SC shirt. Yakov Trenin, one of the heroes of last night's Predator win, he had the shirt on for Nashville SC doing the post-game interview.
Everyone
is in. So we're looking forward to this game tonight. You answered one of my questions about do you play maybe a little differently when you know you can't have a draw, you have to play to win. Here's the other one I have for you, Tony. I know people sort of come and go during the season, such a long season, and there's international play and things like that. Do they have pretty much the lineup they would ideally want to have for the playoffs at this point?
Yeah, I think they're pretty much at full strength. I mean, the injury report tonight really lists one player as a doubt, and that's Dave Romney, who's suffering from a lower calf injury. Now, there's no doubt Dave Romney would be a miss because he's formed such a brilliant partnership with Walker Zimmerman at the back there over the 2 years of MLS. He had not missed a second of soccer for Nashville until he had to sit out the game against New York Red Bulls, the last regular season game. But by and large, Gary Smith's got a fully fit roster aside from Romney, and Daniel Rios will be missing as well. So, you know, he will be able to field near enough his strongest team tonight. And it's a team that if they produce, and like I was saying before, if they can rediscover some of that attacking fluidity that we saw at home in some fantastic performances back in August and early September, then they're going to be in a good spot. And getting the first goal tonight, I talked about momentum as well. And I know that we just remarked about the fact that Orlando have proved to be that exception in that they've come back from trailing against Nashville, but not many will. I think Gary Smith will fancy his team's chances if they can get the first goal. They can get in front, and then the crowd can play their part as well. I think it'll be difficult for Orlando on a chilly, cold night with the seasons on the line.
Tony Husband is with us. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45 tonight on ESPN 94.9, and they will kick off around 7. Hani Mukhtar, obviously a MVP candidate in the MLS, but you know everybody around here knows that. So does Orlando. So if they do their job and they're trying to contain him tonight, who in your mind needs to step up and be that next go-to guy?
couple of players, I would say, yeah, absolutely. The attention will be on Mukhtar, but you know he's that good. You can try and mark this guy out of the game and try and shackle him, but you know he's too good to be completely closed out of the game. Even if you stick a player on him and man to man him all night long, you know he'll find those pockets of space. But you're absolutely right. If you're paying a lot of attention on a guy like Mukhtar, then he's going to bring others into it. Randall Leal scored a fantastic goal in the game here against Miami in the first round of the playoffs last year. Right foot rocket from about 25 yards out. He's capable of that, the Costa Rican. He has a flair for the moment and steps up in these kind of moments. So I would look at Leal, and I would look at CJ Sapong, who came here in the offseason and looked like a kind of a little bit of a signing really to add to the depth chart up front, and yet he carved out and won that spot up top and has been outstanding this season. 12 goals for him, vastly experienced player, has formed a great combination with Hani Mukhtar. So big moment. And then, of course, you talk about set pieces. Sometimes these games are so tight. This game could be decided, potentially decided by one moment. It could be from a corner kick, a free kick, and well, you want someone like Walker Zimmerman in there who can win the headers and get you the decisive goal in the key moment. So, you know, there's a few players in there that could be match winners tonight.
Obviously, Tony, as you know, I'm new to this like a lot of people, but I watched Joe Willis in net this year, and he's played every game in goal for Nashville SC, and just the job he does. I know he is being recognized. He's a finalist for Goalkeeper of the Year, but do you think that he truly does get the recognition he deserves around the league?
Well, probably not in many ways. I mean, I think there's a few players in this roster that, you know, maybe outside of our market here, you know, they haven't probably had some of the plaudits that they deserve. I mean, we talked about Dave Romney before. You know, I think Walker Zimmerman has been outstanding at Nashville, but I think part of that reason he's been so outstanding is that the partnership he's had with Dave Romney next to him, and I'm sure he'd be the first person to acknowledge that. And when it comes to Joe Willis, you know, this is a guy led the league in shutouts last year with 9 in a shortened season. He then comes into this season, 13 shutouts. And I think the thing that with Joe as well, the development we've seen of a player like him, and goalkeepers mature and can go much, much longer. He's 33 now. He's got many years ahead of him in his career, if, you know, as long as he stays fit. You know, he has won this side some points this season. I think back to an away trip to New York City FC. He made some absolutely key saves. You know, a lot of the time during the first two seasons, he's had a fantastic, you know, league-best defense in front of him. And there have been days where, you know, he's actually said, look, I didn't have too many saves to make today. But there have been games this season as well, as Nashville have got a little bit more creative going forward. It does leave the odd hole at the back. That's where you need your goalkeeper to step up and make game-changing saves for you. And he's absolutely done that. Does he get enough credit for it? Probably not. But maybe that'll change in the next few weeks if this team goes on a playoff run and gets a little bit more national attention along the way.
Well, Tony, it's going to be a fun one tonight. I'll see you here in just a little bit as we'll get things going. But going to be awesome at Nissan Stadium. Looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem, fellas. Really looking forward to it. And yeah, let's hope it's a great night for Nashville sports.
Absolutely. He is Tony Husband. He will be on the call on ESPN 94.9. Pregame coverage again at 6:45. They will kick off around 7 alongside Jamie Watson. Kelly Glendinning will be on the sidelines as well. Wes Bowling will have your pre and post coverage as we'll get it all rocking here tonight as Nashville SC takes on Orlando. We'll come back with more here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Go to thegamenashville.com/deals and check out Nashville's best deals. This week, buy one range pass at Nashville Armory, which is valued at $50, for only $25. Nashville Armory is Tennessee's premier shooting facility. Whether seeking basic to advanced firearms training or shooting full auto machine guns in there, 50 caliber rated range, buy, train, shoot at Nashville Armory. Nashville Armory is located at 4290 Kenilwood Drive in Nashville. The website is armoryranges.com. Remember, go to the deal right now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, we will have our top 10 in the third hour following Tim Hasselbeck. So Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon, followed by our top 10. Tampa Bay gets it done last night. They beat the Giants 30-10. It's a good win. They're starting to get bodies back. Gronk was back in the mix. I think he's missed, what, 4 four games in a row or four out of the last five.
Yeah, he's been out
like
a while, for sure.
You know, Antonio Brown, he's been out. His foot's been in a boot. I think he's had an ankle issue. Are they about to get him back? You know, they're starting to get bodies back in the mix, and you do wonder, what does that mean? We talked about this yesterday. It's really, this is where, as bodies fall, teams figure out, or they're getting bodies back. I mean, this is why there's constant movement. Teams are trying to figure out how to play out the remainder of the season. How do they get past maybe guys that aren't going to come back and moving forward? How do they handle when they do get guys back? And so it is interesting to see how it all plays out. I think Tampa is really good. I think the Giants are really bad. And I'll be curious to see where everybody has who, what, where, when we do our top 10 after 10.
Yeah, well, it was once again difficult, and, you know, there's shuffling going on in the top 10. Whoever is number one this week, we're sorry, you're going to lose.
It is amazing, yeah, how that has happened. That's played out. We started in week one.
My number one has lost three in a row.
Tampa, Arizona were the number one teams in the first week we did it, going into week eight. The following week, it was Rams, Dallas, so all changed. The following week, week 10, Arizona, all changed. And then last week, Green Bay, Dallas, Titans. So, yeah, every single week, the number one team that we had has completely changed. That's 1 week. That's what's fun about this. In 1 week, we can't get the same number one team to stay at number one for a week.
Nope.
I like that.
It's like the Manning curse.
Was there a latest one? Obviously, we didn't see the Manning cast last night. So who'd they have on for the Giants-Bucks game?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I know Kevin Hart was there.
Bill Parcells.
Kevin!
The new commercial. With the Home
Bill
Alone.
Parcells. Oh, boy. How was that?
I only know because it's on the TV right now on the replay.
Oh, you didn't see it. Okay.
The Big Tuna.
Yeah, I love the Manning cast. It's fantastic, but even that won't let me watch the Giants play football.
Yeah.
Much more exciting game at Bridgestone Arena last night.
They had Condoleezza Rice.
Okay.
She was on there. And then Julian Edelman.
Hmm.
So it was Parcells, Kevin Hart, Condoleezza Rice, Julian Edelman.
Interesting. Yeah, for that game when it's the Giants, you got to watch the Manning cast.
Or you watch the hockey game.
Well, I said
which is much better.
We weren't watching.
Yeah.
So
it was a good hockey game.
It was. Yakov Trenin, what a game he had.
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
I didn't see him rocking the Nashville SC last night.
He had it in the post game interview.
Nice.
Very cool. I thought it was funny. I don't know, Willie, if you heard you know, they put Yakov Trenin and Ryan Johansson together.
That was awesome.
Post game.
Loved it.
And, you know, Yakov is still very shy and humble and, you know, very thick Russian accent. And Joey just, you know, is Joey and jumps in and is like, well, you know, he's Yak's over there being humble, but, you know, the kid's been playing well. And
that was great.
He's going to do it again on Wednesday. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's going to do it again on Wednesday.
I think Ryan Johansson, you can tell he's so comfortable right now. The way he's playing, the way he's presenting himself, you can really tell a difference. He and Matt Duchene are a story. We're getting close to a quarter of the way through. Thanksgiving is always a marker. But, man, you like what you're getting from those guys. And it's not just the numbers. It's the presence. Ryan Johansson, I just love how he gave his teammate a lot of credit. Yakov Trenin is a good player. I just think he's a guy, too, that – if you look at the chances he's gotten, and he actually did reference that last night, because I just haven't been able to put it in. He says, I'm getting the chances. I agree with that 100%. He can make dynamic plays. That play to win the game last night was an incredible play.
Johansson at 6 goals on the season. He had 7 all of last year in the shortened season. He's in his Predators career, he's been around the 14-15 mark on the year. He's shooting the puck more, but he's also jumping on rebounds and taking advantage of those opportunities. But the thing I really like is you've seen him play with different wingers, and, yeah, and it doesn't matter who he's playing with, it's working.
And I think that's a credit to him, is he's driving whoever he's playing with. They haven't been able to settle on who the right people to play with him are yet. That's what's going to be interesting when Forsberg comes back, and hopefully that will be pretty soon.
I know what I want to see. I want to see.
So would you put him with Johansson, or would you put Forsberg on the top line and move Luke Cunningham down?
I would like to see Forsberg with Johansson and Janot. I want to see what that looks like.
Interesting.
I just,
what about Trennan?
Well, I mean, I understand. You don't want to break them up, but I just want to see what that looks like. I think Janot is another one that can, you know, play just about anywhere. He's showing that. And so I want to see what him and Forsberg could do with Joey in the middle.
It's an interesting thought. They got some options, and that's why Forsberg will be such a welcome sight.
That's the great thing, is they have options.
Yeah. But I like how Johansson is pacing, and because he is not living off of the way Duchesne and Granlund are playing. He's playing on a separate line, so he is pulling his weight for sure. And Granlund continues to have an outstanding season. Duchesne, with any luck last night, could have had another goal or two. He made some incredible passes as well. So Duchesne, even though he's not on the score sheet last night, strong game, I thought.
I want to see Tomasino start getting rewarded. I mean, it's time, you know. He's close. I like the fact that I talked to him in the second period of intermission. I like the fact that he doesn't feel like he's a young guy, right? He's a kid. He's not a kid, but I view him as a kid. He's 20 years old. That, you know, he's so early in his career. I think he's now played 16 NHL games. And, you know, we always talk about confidence. We talk about losing that, and it's easy. It comes and it goes. No matter if you've been in the league for 16 games or 600 games, you can lose confidence. It doesn't matter. And you always worry about that with the young guys, but just in the brief conversation last night, he's not losing confidence. Like, I love his attitude. I love it. I love the attitude of this team. Michael McCarron last night was my postgame guest in Patron Platinum Club, and I love the fact. And John Hines, it was interesting because McCarron said it, and John Hines said it after the game. John Hines said after that third period goal by Drysdale early on, like 4 minutes in, to tie it up, fluky play.
Fluky is an understatement. That was unbelievable how that went in there.
But we see that stuff. I mean, it's not like we've never
not
seen
quite like that.
So John Hines talked about the body language, you know, the team. They're like, you know, he liked their body language after that goal. It was funny because it wasn't funny, but McCarron said the same, almost the same thing in Patron Platinum Club. Like, you know, his words were, we just knew we weren't going to lose that game. Like, I love that attitude. You know, this team, and he talked about how difficult they're going to make it on teams, and how Gil was kind of referencing that last night. What stands out about this team and their identity when they're playing to their identity is because of these huge bodies. I mean, McCarron's a huge guy. They got some big dudes out there, and they're going to make life difficult for you. And what Hal talks about, and I'll tell you what I thought about when he was describing this in postgame, I thought about the Derrick Henry effect, right? Like, when does Derrick Henry have his most success? Is it the first half or the second half? It's the second half.
Second half,
if you look at all his stats, the second half is when he's really, you know, he starts wearing down defenses. And Hal Gill was describing, you know, well, you know, maybe in the first period or the first half of the game, you know, you're okay competing in those corners and, you know, competing for those puck battles and slamming into big bodies. But in the second half of the game, you may be a little bit more reluctant. Like, you know, like, I'm kind of tired of getting beaten and, you know, banged around. Like, it's not as welcoming anymore. Like I said, I was thinking of Derrick Henry. This is probably exactly the way defenses feel. Like, we'll get after you in the first half. But, like, with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, are they still as energetic to tackle 22? I think defenses have shown over the last 2 to 3 years they're not. They're not as interested, especially in the fourth quarter. They're not as interested in tackling Derrick Henry. And so I thought it was kind of
Interesting to hear Hal Gill talk about that when the Predators are playing their style. This is what John Hines wants them to do. And the way this roster has been put together with these larger bodies. This is exactly why Rocco Grimaldi is not, because this is not their identity. They're going big. You know, they're going big and they're going to make things physical and they're going to block shots and they're going to make things difficult on you. They're about the forecheck and all that good stuff. And that's what Hal was talking about, like when they're doing that, which they were last night. It's inviting the first half of the game. It's not as inviting for the opposition for the second half of the game. And I think that's probably how it played out last night.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And that's what you like to see. And I think that's the mentality that he's instilled with them, and it's taken some time, but they're buying into it. So I totally agree.
It's also ironic because the Ducks are a great example of a team that used to come in and try to bully Predators and just get nasty
arts.
With them. The dark arts. We used to talk about that all the time. And the Predators would stand up to it, but that's about all they could do is stand up to it. Now, if you watch last night, it was the Predators that had the more intimidating way of playing last night. And, of course, there's a lot of different ways to win. Anaheim has got a winning formula with these young, talented players that they've developed. It's taken them years. They're coming back around. They had some decently high first-round picks, and now those guys are 20, 21, 22, starting to get their feet wet and help them win hockey games. But it was kind of interesting to watch the Ducks play, and it was, you know, the Ducks kind of shine away from the contact and the physicality to some degree.
I do think the Ducks are good. Watching last
They're
night,
improved.
Like I think that, you know, I asked Hal what he, you know, does he think, hey, they're legit? And he said, yeah, but, you know, I want to see how they handle, you know, the low spots and the grind. And, you know, if guys
I still think
cool
they're
off.
Not there yet. And if I'm the Ducks, I'm a little concerned about Getzlaf at 36 playing the role he's playing. He's playing the number one center, which is what he wants to do. What he's done his whole career. They sort of demoted him some last year. They almost didn't bring him back. Remember, he was on the market for a while, and then he went back. But he's been resurgent. But can he do that and have his body hold up for the whole thing? I still see some challenges for them. Same thing with the Kings. But those are teams that are way, way better than they've been. Same thing with the Sharks. Sharks turned around and beat Carolina last night.
Yeah.
Big win for them. They're doing much better. With a
I
lot of rookies.
I don't think it's a nice story. It's a nice start. In the end, when it all shakes out, I would be surprised if they're top 14.
You mean Anaheim or San Jose?
Anaheim.
Yeah, and you may be right. I mean,
the important thing to think about from the Predators' end is in that Pacific where you have some real wide-open stuff, right? You have all these teams that have gone through rebuilds and how good are they. It looks like Calgary is legit. Mm-hmm. They were more of a stand pat. Sort of rework within. Edmonton looks like a juggernaut.
Calgary and Edmonton are going to be there. Vegas will end up being there. So
Vegas
three.
Is going to be there. So then the wild card.
That's the one spot.
So the wild card is the key. If you don't finish in the top three, the next two are from either division. So you've got to be better than the fourth place team in the Pacific, or at least the fifth place team in the Pacific. So that's something to keep your eye on.
I think the Central is going to probably lend more opportunities, more teams vying for that spot than the Pacific, don't you think?
I don't think there's a doubt.
Long way to go. But that's what you hope.
Well, because, I mean, yeah, but, I mean, I would say right now in the Central especially, I mean, Minnesota, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Nashville, Colorado, Dallas, you can make the case. Those are all legitimate. Chicago, who knows? I mean, they're 6-4-0 in their last 10.
Yeah,
they're playing better since the coaching change. Arizona, we know what they are. But then in the Pacific, Vegas is going to figure it out. They're 7-3-0 in their last 10, so they're starting to do that. I think Edmonton's legit. I'm curious on Calgary. I think they're good, but are they number one good?
If they keep getting the goaltending they're getting, that's going to answer your question.
I think Anaheim is you use the phrase much improved. That's probably the right phrase.
But they're coming from way down.
But are they playoff improved? San Jose, Los Angeles, I think come back down. Seattle is what they are. Vancouver's the one that You know, I didn't expect them to be this bad. I thought they would be better. Mm-hmm. You thought they'd be bad?
No, I thought they'd be better.
Yeah.
So but it just shows you how wide open.
Sure.
It's wide open. And there's still, even though people say, hey, Thanksgiving, if you're out Thanksgiving, forget about it. I don't think there's usually one or two that get it together. And I think this is a year that you can make up ground.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the sixth place team in the Central is going to have a shot at it, you know, way, way on down the line. Like, it's going to come down to the wire just because the Central is that tough.
I agree.
Come back, hour number two on the other side. First, Willie, you got a word about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to always keep top of mind. And the home maintenance plan is very, very important because it's going to save you money long term. It's worked for us. In our household, we got an old house built in 1913. So over time, stuff starts breaking down. We've been in the house now for over 20 years. So the relationship we have with Lee Company has helped us because they come in, they give us annual checkups on our heating, our cooling, our plumbing, our electric system. So when things start to wear down, they find the problems, they identify them early, and we can plan ahead and make the repairs necessary. We've done it for several years. It saves you money because when you're part of the high maintenance plan, the home maintenance plan, not the high maintenance plan, although sometimes we're high maintenance, right? But the home maintenance plan, you get discounts on the repairs if you're part of the club. So that's going to save you the money long term. Become a part of it. Lee Company. 615-567-1000. 615-567-1000 or go to leecompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.